It's 8 o'clock. This is KBNF Regional News for Tuesday, December 16th. I'm Patricia Naft. Yesterday was the last day to sign up for health insurance on the state's exchange if you wanted coverage starting January 1st. KBNF's Laura Pomisano visited an enrollment center on the Western Slope yesterday to speak with people trying to get covered.
You're so welcome. Bye-bye.
We got five people ahead of you.
The waiting room at Hilltop's Health Access site in Grand Junction is crowded. The site is an enrollment center where people can sign up for Connect for Health Colorado, the state's health exchange. This enrollment center is one of two Hilltop, a local nonprofit, operates in the city. People can come here to talk with certified health coverage guides like Rondo Lofin.
We can help people go into Connect for Health Colorado and shop for a plan and explain some of the different insurance plans that are available in this area.
Lofin says guides can also help people enroll for Medicaid or the state's plan for children and pregnant women. 26-year-old Spencer Rugland is here to find an insurance plan.
I changed jobs recently, so I lost my coverage from my previous employer, and I'm just seeing what the system has to offer.
Hilltop officials say since open enrollment started a month ago, they've helped more than 350 people at the Grand Junction sites. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
Theo Colburn, founder of TEDx in Paonia, died yesterday at the age of 87. She was best known for her work looking into the relationship between plastics and the endocrine system. More recently, she researched endocrine disruptors in chemicals associated with fracking. She died at home, surrounded by her family. The Hermosa Creek watershed is now protected. After years of work from a myriad of community groups, government agencies, and more, the Hermosa Creek bill passed the Senate late last Friday. This is Bruce Whitehead, the executive director of the Southwestern Water Conservation District.
We just finished a meeting here earlier, and there was lots of smiles around the table because we weren't sure how long the process would take, and there was a few bumps along the way, and we were glad that it held together, and there were some other issues that were addressed as a part of the bill that weren't originally a part of Hermosa Creek, but this provides, I think it created about a little over 70,000 acres of a special management area that would protect that and stay open to those historic uses, including mountain biking and motorized recreation. But it also creates about 38,000 acres of wilderness, which will be the Hermosa Creek Wilderness Area. And so that was a big victory for everybody, and it didn't really impact the water uses. It recognizes the historic uses, including grazing that was important to the agricultural community here, and more importantly, protects the watershed and the water quality, and it has very high water quality in Hermosa Creek drainage. So that was important to all of us and something we all value here in Southwest Colorado.
Bruce credits the efforts of everyone involved for the project's success.
It does show that the grassroots efforts are effective. If everybody can reach an agreement and stick together and not waver from their positions, that even Congress can see their way to provide some protections that make sense for the local community. So it was a good process, and we're very happy, all of us down here, that this has moved forward. It's quite an accomplishment.
Some planning may need to happen, but the bill will become law when President Obama signs it. Over the weekend, a group of volunteers woke up early and braved the cold, wet snow and scoured the area in and around the city of Delta to count birds. It was part of the Christmas Bird Count, an event put on by the Audubon Society that's been going on for 115 years. KVNF's Jake Ryan rode around with Amy Seglund, the count's organizer. They went looking for birds right in town.
With this Christmas Bird Count, we have a 5-mile diameter circle around Delta. And so we're just trying to cover as much area in that circle and see as many bird species as we can. So as you can see, there's some Canadian geese out there, and I try and get a count of them. So 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Looks like 13 Canadian geese. I'm gonna just get my notes real quick. So we got mallards, of course. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 16 mallards, and we've got some American widgeons. We've got 3 of those. The nice thing about birds is they kind of live everywhere and you can see them everywhere, and that's kind of the joy of them. It's not like a lot of wildlife. If you're studying mountain lions, trying to see mountain lions is really difficult, and it takes a long time, and most of the time you don't see them, but birds are so, you know, visual, and they can use all these urban areas and you know, houses and feeders, that you get to see a lot of diversity and a lot of different bird species, even though you are right next to the highway or right next to these trailers. That's kind of the fun part about them.
Similar bird counts will be going on internationally until January 5th. The internet has been around in some form or another for over 40 years, but we're still figuring out how exactly everything will work. One of those problems is taxes. KVNF's Jake Ryan has the story.
Just in time for Christmas, the Supreme Court is hearing a case from Colorado that has to do with taxes for things bought online, specifically things bought online and out of state. Everyone is familiar with sales tax, but this issue hinges on use tax. Michael Wagoner is a law professor at CU Boulder, and he explains the problem states find themselves in.
There's a use tax, which is imposed on things brought into the state. So if you were to buy a car in Utah, when you register it in Colorado, you'd have to pay a use tax. Well, in theory, the use tax applies to these interstate commerce sales, but in fact, almost nobody pays it. So what many states are trying to do is to make the out-of-state seller report in-state purchasers so that the state can collect a use tax from them, which is basically collecting a sales tax.
Colorado would undoubtedly like a tax on online purchases, but it can get complicated quick.
Well, again, the argument for is that this is consumption occurring in Colorado, so if other consumption that you buy from your local store is taxable, you ought to tax the interstate sales so you don't give the out-of-state internet seller an unfair advantage. The case the other way is that it may be expensive or difficult to have out-of-state companies know what the tax rules are in Colorado and Utah and Hawaii and Florida and Maine.
So far, the Supreme Court doesn't seem too thrilled about an online use tax, and Wagoner says that two previous cases provide precedent for tossing out the whole idea. It's unknown when the ruling will come down. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Up next, Chase in the Tuesday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.